and amen. Amen, amen. We praise God that he is a creator. Not only is he a creator, he doesn't have to borrow stuff from anybody else. As a matter of fact, if you came here tonight and you felt like you don't have anything to offer to God, he works with nothing. And he created this world with nothing. So even if that's all you have, that's more than enough for him to give you something. Welcome again tonight to another episode of our Jesus at the Center series. We want to thank you all for coming. We want to welcome all those who are online also who are with us. We are going to be praising the Lord, worshiping him tonight. And I hope as you came in this evening that you made certain that you registered for our prize and also for tonight. If you've come nights before, we are glad that you did, but we want to make certain that you're registering every single night because this increases your chances for that grand prize at the end of the week. So if you pass by and you didn't register, we invite you to do so before you leave tonight. Also, this is an interactive series. Message this evening, if you have any questions, if there's something itching you, if you need to have something answered, we're going to invite you to text your questions to our number 954-388-8780. And we'll have a question and answer panel that'll be up here just a little later on. We'll be answering those questions right after our message. This evening, we have somebody here who's going to be sharing a message. He's from the Boogie Down Bronx. And so we're looking forward to him as he's going to share tonight. And so, but we're going to have our theme song before I introduce him. So, praise team, take it away.
Let's stand for our theme song. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Here we go. In this time of desperation.
In this time of desperation.
Live loud.
Our God will
yes, we believe.
gates of hell.
Gates of hell cannot prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe,
we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father.
We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe.
Come on, church, can I hear you real loud? Can I hear you real loud?
And he's given us new life.
Amen again. Tonight, I have the privilege of introducing our speaker. His name is Pastor Lafitte Cortez. And as I shared with you before, he was born in Bronx, New York. And as early as 15, he found his passion for teens and young adults. And his ministry hasn't grown up since. He still has a passion for them even today. He's pastored in the state of New York, state of New Jersey, and he actually ministered as the youth director for the conference there in New Jersey, where he actually built the teen, youth, and young adult ministries there at that conference. He moved on from there, and he's ministered in the Pacific Union College as a chaplain there. And since then, he's come here to South Florida, where he now is the lead pastor for the Miami Temple Seventh-day Adventist Church. He is married to Linda, and he has two children, Raylan and Caleb, who are both in college. We're praying for them as they continue to study at their colleges. But tonight, I pray that the Lord will indeed bless us as he uses his manservant, Pastor Lafitte Cortez, as he comes to share with us under the topic of creation and God. Thank you, Pastor Lafitte.
Good evening. I was going to say happy Sabbath. That's the knee jerk. How you guys are doing? This is my first time here. I am so blessed and privileged to be here. I thank the pastoral staff. You guys have an amazing pastoral staff here. You know, Pastor Joseph, he's the teacher, but he looks cool. He looks cool. And Pastor Jennifer tonight, where'd she go? She went backstage. I didn't know she sings. Yes. What? Yes. And then, of course, you got my buddy Pastor Andrew, who just looks tall. No, I'm just kidding. So, I go by Pastor Lafitte because Lafitte, how many Lafittes do you know? That's one. But I was named after a horse jockey, Lafitte Pinquet Jr. My father he loved the horses, and when we were living in the Bronx. And when I became a Christian, my full name is Raymond Lafitte Cortez. Now, how many Raymonds you know? And a whole bunch. And so the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we're gonna get a new name. So I adopted a new name, which is my middle name, Pastor Lafitte, because it's unique, is different, is mysterious. And so that's why I go by Pastor Lafitte. So you don't have to call me Pastor Cortez. Cortez is, sounds so, so old. But pray for me tonight, because the Holy Spirit is in this place. I know you hear that a lot when you have these meetings. Oh, the Holy Spirit is here. And, but I was watching last night. I was watching last night. No, you don't understand. I was watching last night, and Pastor Alex was talking about the Holy Spirit. And the text that he used is the same text I'm going to use. And I'm like, Pastor, whoa, what are you doing? That's my text. But here's the interesting thing is, when Pastor Joseph called the pastors, we didn't have a meeting, right? You didn't have a meeting, because I wasn't there if you had the meeting. And so he just told us, this is what you're going to talk about. And he gave me the topic of creation. And so last night, as Pastor Alex is talking about Holy Spirit, he touched on creation. Holy Spirit prepared the table, prepared your hearts to receive the message of today. So that's why I know the Holy Spirit is in this place and has anointed each of the speakers. So pray for me. This was a very challenging topic. And because I'm a New York fan, I'm a New Yorker, you know, my Yankees are struggling, you know. I'm a little distracted. But God is going to be here with us. Father God, I like what Pastor Andrew said. If we have nothing, that's okay. Because you created out of nothing. So tonight, I have nothing. I am no one. Hide me behind a cross. Because tonight we need to be recommitted, not just to our Redeemer, but to our Creator, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking about creation. And I'm going to just start by saying that I believe in intelligent design, but I believe that God is the intelligent designer. Amen, amen. Amen. Okay, but let me start by saying I'm not a scientist. So I know some of you are going to have some questions tonight. I'm not a scientist, but I came prepared, because at Miami Temple, we have a scientist. I have a who I consulted in preparing this message. His name is Dr. Alan Rodriguez. He is a teacher at FIU. He has doctored his chemistry. So, you know, remember that game, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And when you didn't know the answer to the question, you could dial a friend. I'm going to dial a friend tonight. If you have a question, a science question, I got him on speed dial. But I believe that there is an intelligent designer, not because I'm not a scientist, not because I'm a pastor, is because before I became a pastor for 10 years, I worked as a network engineer in New York City. I designed computers. I built and set up networks for different clients in different places in New York. And I can tell you that I never put a computer, a router, a printer, walked out, closed the door, come back, and a system was already in place. That never happened. Some of you who get your computer, did that happen to you? Come with me, those of you who remember setting up the VCR, remember that? Remember programming the VCR? Did it do it by itself? Someone's like, VCR, Pastor? What are you talking about, VCR? So in your age, Pastor. And so I believe that if humans can design a computer system, then there has to be a designer that has designed to perfection, not just humanity, but everything that's on earth, that it's to perfection. Did you know if the earth was a little to the left from the sun, we would be we'd be frozen? If you get a little closer to the sun, we like fried chicken. But God, in his wisdom, he designed it perfectly. And so I believe that God is the designer. Okay, what am I doing? There we go. They asked Albert Einstein, are you an atheist? And he said, I am not an atheist. The problem involved is too vast for our limited minds. We are in the position of a little child entering a huge library filled with books in many languages. The child knows someone must have written those books. It does not know how. It does not understand the languages in which they are written. The child dimly suspects a mysterious order in the arrangement of the books, but doesn't know what it is. That, it seems to me, is the attitude of even the most intelligent human being towards God. We see the universe marvelously arranged and obeying certain laws, but only dimly understand that these arrange and obeying certain laws, but only dimly understand these laws. That's Albert Einstein. He said that. So a couple of thoughts before I move on. President John Adams said this: facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. All right? So why am I saying this? So I sat with my science friend, and he said this. He said, okay, Pastor, first thing, data are facts. When it comes to science, science is the interpretation of facts. He's saying this to me. He dumbed it down for me. He said, we need to understand that we don't understand. Science has not caught up to the Bible. Okay? And I'm going to pause. A couple of years ago, I was in Loma Linda, and there was a doctor there. He was part of a brain trust, and his specialty was the heart. The heart. And so I asked him, because every student at PUC would come to me and say, how can an intelligent person that believes in science, how can they believe in God? So here is the opportunity. Here is this doctor who is in charge of this. He's leading this brain trust they are the leading experts of the heart. So I asked him, are you a believer? And he says, yes, I am a believer. And he said to me, science has not caught up to the Bible. I'm quoting him. So I said, okay, explain that to me. He says, Lafitte, for 20 years, we believed a certain thing, and I don't remember that certain thing right now, so my apologies. But he said, we believe a certain thing about a heart. For 20 years, we believe, yes, because we saw it, we did the experiments, we did the tests, and for the past 20 years, we believe that this is what the heart is supposed to do. Till last year, with technology, we realized that for 20 years, we were wrong. And so this is where I set the table. He says to me, science is the wrong tool to understand God. He says it's like getting a cardboard box and using a metal detector to discover what's inside that cardboard box. Wrong tool, right? So when it comes to, you cannot use science to understand God. Now science, there's certain things that reveal God, but you cannot use science to understand God. And the one thing I want to just say this right here, the Bible, it's not a science textbook. Amen? This is where we get in trouble. Even though Columbus and Galileo, they read certain verses in the Bible and they found that the world was round. Yes, but the Bible is not a science textbook. Amen? All right, so let's go. So here it is, biology. He says, let me give you some things that are going to blow you away. Biology, he says. He says, the red blood cells, hemoglobin. The hemoglobin is a red protein responsible for transporting oxygen in the blood of vertebrates. Its molecule comprises four subunits, each containing an iron atom bound to a hemi group. I said, bro, dumb it down for me. So he says, okay. He said, when you have oxygen and iron, what does the oxygen do to the iron? You know this. What happens? Oxidizes. So you have it rust. So he says to me, Pastor, in the center of that hemoglobin, there is an iron atom, and which God has designed in such a way that it will be able to transport oxygen, but will not oxidize or rust. I was like, whoa. He says to me, here's another example in biology. Years before the Industrial Revolution, there was a moth that the color was white. And all of a sudden now, with the Industrial Revolution, the smoke and the soot, the moth changed its color. And so now you have black moth. Why? Because they adopted to the environment. So he says to me, when the Bible says, he says, and God created light and it was good. Remember that? And God, you know, the firmament and it was good. And he separated the land and the plants and the animals. It was good. But if you notice on the sixth day after he created man, it says, God says, it's very good. So this chemist is telling me there's two reasons. Because one, it was very good because God created us. Hello, somebody. Come on. He created us. So we were kind of the crown of creation. But as a scientist, this is what he's telling me now. He says, no. But because we believe that God is omniscient, just as Pastor Alex said yesterday, that God looked into the future and he knew that we were going to sin and he provided a savior. When he looked at creation on the sixth day, he says, you know what? I am going to design earth, humans, and animals to be able to adapt to the changes that sin is going to bring. That's why when I first moved to Miami, right, my first winter here, I was laughing because when it got to 70 degrees, all right, I'm coming from New York, 70 degrees, I'm in my shorts and my chancletas, my t-shirt, and I see my neighbors with coats and jackets, and I'm like, what's going on? And I remember one of my church members said, don't worry, Pastor, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. Guess what? It took a while. But now when it's 70 degrees, well, it's a little cold in here. What happened? My body acclimated because of the new environment of Miami. That's not a coincidence. That was God. So chemistry. In chemistry, he says, there is a disparity of the elements that we find in the world compared to the organism. So, for example, he says, when you look at a seashell, the main element of the seashell is calcium carbonate. But the high content of the ocean is sodium. So if it's true that what evolution teaches, right, you adapt to the environment, blah, blah, blah. So he's telling me that the high content, that the shell should have been made up of sodium carbonate. But sodium carbonate dissolves in water. Hello, somebody. So God said, no. I am going to create a seashell that's going to be made up of calcium carbonate so that he'll be able to survive in the water. So these are the things that my chemist friend told me. That's enough for the science. Don't ask me any more science questions. We're done. Pastor Lafitte is coming now. So here's the problem. The problem that we have is this. It's not so much that people have a problem that God is creator. Richard Dawkins, when he wrote his book, he wrote it after 9/11. And his problem was, if God is a good God, how can bad things happen to what? The problem is that society, including Pastor Lafitte, see, I never questioned that God is creator, even though I don't have the science degree, but because I work with computers and I know, wait a minute, I design, so there has to be a creator. But you know what my problem is? My problem was unjust suffering. I can't see kids being sold as human sex slaves or being sold as slaves or innocent children dying of hunger. But a couple of years ago, it hit home. And I'm talking to somebody tonight because this is my niece, Liam. I call her Piglet. She's my little Piglet. From the age of 2, she was diagnosed with cancer. This is her at the age of 4. And when I visited her in Puerto Rico, so I went to see her, and she's by her bed, and she has a bedpan. So I go to her, and she says, oh, what is this? She goes, tio, uncle, I use this to do this. Blah!
Ahora tú. Now you. So she gives me the bedpan, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? She goes, blah. So I go, blah. And this four-year-old who has cancer, surviving cancer, dying with cancer, she's laughing hysterically. She takes the bedpan, and it's my turn. Blah. Ahora tú. And we went back and forth, and my heart broke. Because here, she's dying of cancer. She's 4 years old. Lord, where are you? My sister and I grew up in the Adventist church. My sister and I went to Adventist school, Pathfinders. We went to Adventist college. I am a pastor. God, I have prayed for other people. You owe me this. So 5, 6, at her 7th birthday, 2 weeks after her 7th birthday, she passes away. So I was angry with God. And so there's a lot of people in the world that says, I cannot believe that God exists because there's so much what? But see, if I believe the most intellectual, honest response to all the unjust suffering in the world is not to deny that God exists. Because see, I don't know where we got it. Because Jesus never said, hey, follow me. It's going to be roses, streets of gold, you know. He said, no. They hated me. They're going to hate you. But I will be with you to the end of the age. So it's okay. Don't deny that God exists. But it's okay to be angry with God. Channel that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, be angry, but do not sin. And see, we were not raised that way. You know, no. You need to trust God. No, you're disrespecting God. No. You don't scream at God. No. Argue with God. Doesn't God say that in Isaiah? He says, let us reason together. Okay? As a matter of fact, the name of Israel, the name of God's people in the Bible is what? Israel. In the Hebrew, that means struggle with God. So it's okay to struggle with God. But God is our creator. So let's jump in. That was a quick commercial. So why have you ever asked this question? Why does the Bible begin with such an amazing statement? He's not proving who he is. He's not trying to convince you, but the verse says clearly, in the beginning, God did what? Have you ever asked yourself, why does Moses begin the Bible proving that God is the creator? Why didn't he start with the fall of sin? Why didn't he start with redemption? Why? Because Moses understood something. You need to understand that everything exists because of God. And what last night, see, if there's no God, if there's no creator, there's no design, there's no purpose. See, God being creator gives me my identity. Who am I? I was created in God's image. Where do I belong? I belong to God's family. What's my purpose in life? To glorify him by making disciples. See, but if you don't believe that you were designed and created, then what's your identity? What's your purpose? Who do you belong to? And so, see, this is where now I can break it down what Pastor Alex didn't do yesterday. I was like, yes, he didn't do that. The Bible says, in the beginning, God is Elohim. In the beginning, God, the plural word of God. If it was a singular, it would have said, in the beginning, Yahweh, right? But it says, in the beginning, Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Yesterday, he talked about the coach, but I'm going to take it further. I'm going to take it what it is. God is the architect. The Father is the architect. Jesus. Oh, wait, I'm getting ahead of myself. Never mind. Let me slow down. In the beginning, God creates. And the word create is bara. And that word bara means out of nothing. See, God is the only one that creates. Human makes. God is the only one that bara. So for example, masterpiece, works of art. Humans say that we create masterpieces, right? So I'm painting, right? I'm painting. I created a masterpiece. No, you did not. Because if God creates a masterpiece, not only is he drawing the painting, but he created the canvas and he created the paint. God creates out of nothing and he brings it out of existence. There was an atheist, a scientist that said to God, listen, we have evolved. We don't need you. And God says, yeah, really? Why? Oh, because we can now, we can clone and our computers can do this and this and that. And God says, okay, let's do something. Are you ready to do anything that I have done? Yes. Man is superior now. That's okay. Can you create man? Scientist says, yes, we can create man. God says, okay, go ahead. But you have to do it the way I did it. And how did you do it? Oh, I just used dirt. So the scientist goes, gets a bucket, gets a shovel, and he kneels down, and he starts digging, filling his bucket. God says, wait a minute, what are you doing? He says, I'm filling the bucket with dirt. God says, no, create your own dirt. That is what God does. He creates out of nothing. See, when the Bible says, let there be light, it says he brought it into being. Christian reveals, creation reveals God's existence. And so real quick, Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. The same question. Why did Paul start with creation? Why did Paul start his book of Romans, which is an amazing book of salvation? Why did he start with creation? Because he understood this. If you do not accept God as your creator, then you cannot accept him as your savior. If you do not accept him as your creator, then the cross, the resurrection, sanctification, glorification, all of that is false. And so that's why Paul starts with, listen, he's our creator. He says God. But then now Paul gets deeper. For in him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rules of authority, all things have been created through him and for him. We don't know who that is till you get to verse 15. Verse 15 tells us what? It's the Son, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is at the center of creation. Jesus is the creator. God the Father is the architect. He designed it. Jesus is the contractor. He builds it. Holy Spirit comes, inspects it, and says it's good. Amen. They work together. The Bible teaches us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was and he was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Bible says the Word then became what? And made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is the same one that when John the Baptist saw him, he said, he is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. So God is not just the creator, but he's also our redeemer. Look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24 says, this is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the creator of all things. Not maker, the creator of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by myself. So real quick. If Jesus is not our creator, then the redemptive work of Christ upon the cross is in vain, and the need for a savior is foolishness. And that's why now you're going to have a lot of people that will say, I'm an agnostic. Because they have recognized, wait a minute, this evolution thing doesn't make sense. But I'm not going to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm going to believe that he exists, but he's not my savior. He's not my redeemer. That's the trap of the devil. The devil says, so this is what Seagrave says in page 24. If there is no creator, then there's no savior either. So real quick, if there's no savior, then why do we worship? Why do we come to church? Worship is giving worth to something or someone. So you ask your Baptist friends, your Catholic friends, you ask them this question: why do you worship God? And you know what they'll say to you? 9 out of 10, they will say this to you: we worship God because he gave us forgiveness. He died on the cross. So then I ask the question, that's a great answer. But then answer me this: why did Adam and Eve worship God before sin? Why do the angels in heaven worship God? Why did Lucifer before sin? You get it? You following the story? We don't worship God because he is our Savior and Redeemer. That was not the original reason. The original reason why we worship God is in Revelation 4. Worthy are you, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they were what? And they were created. We worship God because he's our creator. Remember the Sabbath day, right? Remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. But you can't tell them about remember the Sabbath day until you take them to Genesis chapter 2. And Genesis chapter 2 says that the heavens and the earth were finished, right? God had ended his work and he rested on the seventh day. And what he did on the Sabbath? He blessed it, sanctified it, and what? Ah, he rested. The seventh day Sabbath is to remember our creator. So that's why now you go remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, right? Let's skip to the other part. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Can I talk to the Seventh-day Adventists for a minute? If the Sabbath is about remembering God as our creator, why are we all day in the four walls of a church? Why? If the Sabbath is for us to remember God as creator, where should we be? We should be out in nature. Amen? Just a thought. Just a thought. Revelation 14, 7, right? The third angel's message, right? The message that we all been preaching. Notice what the first angel's message is. Fear God. It's not saying to be scared of God. It says be in awe of God. Why are we going to be in awe of God? Because we're going to give him glory. Why? Because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made what? The heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Last verse, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. Those of us who are Adventists, we're studying the book of Nehemiah. Look at the prayer that Nehemiah prays. Blessed be your glorious name. It may be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heaven, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is in them, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. It's not because of what he did at the cross. Yeah, I'm going to give him, worthy is the lamb that was slain. But before he was slain, he was my creator. He was my intelligent designer. If the multitudes of heaven bow down to worship their creator, should we do anything less? So if you're saying that Jesus is your creator, then you need to worship on the Sabbath. If you believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and by the way, you know how I pray? I don't pray Father, Son, and Holy Spirit too long. When I pray to God, I say, Dear Elohim. That's how I pray. Elohim. I'm talking to the Father, I'm talking to the Son, and I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes the Father needs to design something in my life, and Jesus has to work it in me, and the Holy Spirit has to empower me. The Bible says Jesus is at the center. So if Jesus is your creator, make sure you worship him on the Sabbath. Don't you've been coming here every night, but make sure you come on Saturday and join the Plantation Church as we worship God as our creator. May God bless you.